The domestic political landscape heading into the July 4th holiday is a study in institutional stress. Let's start with the Katherine Herridge case, because it's a First Amendment story with implications that outlast any specific administration. The Supreme Court has declined to intervene, allowing an $800 a day fine to stand against Herridge, a former Fox News reporter who worked at CBS, and refuses to identify the confidential source she used in a 2017 national security story.
The legal mechanics here are important. Federal shield law protections for journalists are patchwork. About 40 states have them in some form, but there's no federal shield law, which means federal cases can compel source identification in ways state cases often cannot. Herridge is being held in civil contempt, not criminal contempt, which is why she's facing escalating fines rather than jail time. But at $800 a day, she'll owe nearly $300,000 per year. That's a figure designed to compel compliance.
The political irony here is notable. Herridge did most of her work at Fox News, which is not typically considered a progressive institution. The pressure to reveal her source is coming from a plaintiff in a civil lawsuit, not directly from the government. But the Supreme Court's refusal to create a federal evidentiary privilege for journalists, even with a 6-3 conservative majority that includes justices appointed by administrations that publicly champion press freedom, tells you where the court stands on this question.
Meanwhile, in Congress, Senator Tom Tillis has declared the Save America Act dead, killed by divisions within the Republican caucus. Without knowing the specific provisions of the Save America Act, the pattern here is consistent with what we've seen throughout this Congress. The Republican majority is large enough to pass messaging legislation, but narrow enough that internal disagreements among factions can kill substantive bills. Tillis has been one of the more independent voices in the Senate Republican caucus on immigration and judicial issues.
The Democratic side has its own fissures. A representative named Kyros is vowing to block Hakeem Jeffries from becoming speaker over PAC money disputes. DSA leaders, that's the Democratic Socialists of America, are publicly warning the Democratic establishment after a string of primary upsets. The progressive insurgency that began reshaping the party after 2016 is continuing to produce results in primaries, which means the incoming Congress may look meaningfully different from the current one, even if Democrats gain seats in the midterms.
The FBI deployment to Atlanta deserves careful attention. Director Kash Patel has issued a memo directing 260 analysts drawn from field offices across the country to surge support to an investigation of the 2020 presidential election in Fulton County, Georgia. This is happening in July 2026, nearly 6 years after the events in question. The Fulton County District Attorney's Office was itself pursuing related charges before that case ran into legal obstacles. Deploying 260 federal analysts to a single investigation of that size and vintage is an extraordinary allocation of resources.
To put the scale in perspective, the FBI's entire organized crime division has roughly 300 agents nationwide. Sending 260 analysts to one county to investigate a six-year-old election raises obvious questions about the allocation of law enforcement resources, and more pointedly, about the line between legitimate investigation and political pressure applied through the investigative process itself.
The Vance Barrett story adds another dimension. Vice President Vance publicly called Justice Amy Coney Barrett's vote on the birthright citizenship case a mistake. Barrett was the deciding sixth vote in a 6-3 ruling that struck down the president's executive order on birthright citizenship. A sitting vice president directly criticizing a Supreme Court justice appointed by the current administration for ruling against that administration is unusual. It's public pressure on the judicial branch from within the executive, and it signals that the White House does not consider the birthright citizenship issue settled.
The DOJ accidentally sending the sealed Jack Smith report to defense lawyers is the kind of procedural story that can have enormous legal consequences. Jack Smith's investigation produced findings that were sealed by court order, meaning portions of the report have never been made public. If those materials have now been distributed to defense attorneys, even inadvertently, the question of whether the seal can be maintained becomes legally complicated in ways that could eventually bring those materials into the public record.
The Trump midterms story ties this all together. Reporting indicates the administration is deploying federal regulatory and administrative power to shape the 2026 midterm landscape. Whether through the USPS mail voting rule that Democratic governors are now fighting, through the FBI deployment to Atlanta, or through other mechanisms. The Democratic governor's letter to the Postal Service arguing against the mail voting rule change reflects the stakes. Mail voting disproportionately favors one party in most states, and rules changes in that space directly affect electoral outcomes.